On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Oh, my mic's falling on the front of my face.
Uh-oh.
Hey, folks, I'm George Adair. Thanks for tuning in. We do this show every Wednesday at noon. You can also find out more information about guests and past shows at the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook page.
The Facebook.
If you go on the Facebook, Bay Equity Loans Facebook page, you can find out who our guests are. So invite you to do...
Wow.
And three, two, one. I invite you to do that at your liege. What's up, Michelle?
Oh, my goodness.
Tired?
I'm a little bit out of it. Combination of being done with the Cheese Festival, which was a huge success in Petaluma.
Yes, I heard actually very good things.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And then this morning I was covering for Pat Carrigan. So I'm a little bit tired.
A little sleepy.
A little tired.
Yeah, I heard you this morning.
Yeah.
I
apologize. Right. Okay. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad that festival went so good for you. Well, we have a good show. We're just waiting for our guests to call in, and we'll see if that's going to happen here shortly, and then I'll introduce them. Hey, folks, do you have any questions about purchasing a home or refinancing? Not sure if you qualify. Give us a call at Bay Equity Home Loans. We'll help you explore your options. You can call us at 707-583-8100. 707-583-8100. I have to sneeze.
Oh, no.
Sorry, today whoever has to talk on this mic after me.
Just like a redo the whole day. Wow.
It is, but you know what? It's live. It's real.
Right.
This is real. So, you know, there's a lot happening in the marketplace with regards to interest rates, and I'm getting a lot of questions about what's happened recently with the Fed increase and where we're headed with future Fed increases. So I thought I would talk about that a little bit because I had a really great conversation this morning with somebody who has almost the exact same mortgage I have on one of my investment properties, which is an adjustable rate mortgage. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have one of those too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's because it didn't make sense to refinance it. And a lot of people really benefited from having an adjustable rate mortgage when they got it back in, say, 2003, 4, or 5, and then it was fixed for 3 to 5 years maybe. And then after that period, the rates went down.
Right. And who thought that would happen?
Right. So everyone, there was kind of two different groups of people that were suffering from the losses of their homes and adjustable rate mortgages that were out of range for them. And then there were people who had more of the conforming type of adjustable rate loans where they had a much smaller margin and they were based off the LIBOR index. And so when the LIBOR index, which is a it's a specific index that tracks the cost of funds that a bank pays, when that thing fell, a lot of people's payments fell, including mine.
Wow.
So we've been in this nice rosy period for the last, I would say about 7 years where rates have been really low, 6 years probably. And now the Fed has been raising the cost of the federal funds rate. So the federal funds rate gets passed through to the banks, and then this LIBOR index, which is a financial measure of cost of funds to the banks, they get together, I think it's weekly, and they get together and they talk about what their average cost of funds are. Well, if they're borrowing money from the federal government over the counter, it's based on a certain federal funds rate. So when the prime rate goes up, so does LIBOR. So folks like me and this borrower I talked to this morning that have had these adjustable rate mortgages and have been in this great low rate environment, all of a sudden we're starting to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And also if you have credit cards that are tied to specific indexes that are volatile, if you have a home equity line of credit, these are other examples of rising interest rates starting to affect your cash flow. So it's affecting your cash flow. You have options because fortunately what the artificially suppressed rate environment did in the real estate industry around us is it created a strong demand for housing, and that caused the home prices to go up.
Right.
So when the home prices rise, it gives you equity. And equity simply is the amount of value in a home after paying off any of the debt against the home. That's equity. So for example, if you had a house worth $600,000 and you owed $400,000 to the bank, you have $200,000 in equity. Well, there's some lendable equity in there based on loan-to-value ranges, where let's say we make a 80% loan-to-value, we can give you a loan at up to $480,000. You pay off your old loan, You got 80 grand available. That's the lendable equity. That's what we can use to help you improve cash flow. So if you are looking at rising interest rates on your adjustable rate mortgage or on your home equity line of credit, it's going to keep happening. You're going to keep seeing the rates go up because the Fed has announced, they're showing their hand pretty obviously, that they're going to keep rising over the next year. Mm-hmm. So as the rates do rise, your cost for that home loan is going to go up. That's when you should call us at Bay Equity Home Loans. Go to bayequityloans.com or call us at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100. And what we'll do is analyze your mortgage and we'll tell you if it makes sense. And we'll look at the debt you're carrying and see if we can help pay it off. But you got to do all this as part of like one big analysis to see the overall benefit. Some people have a mortgage that's really good and they've had it for the last 10 years and it's fixed for 30. I don't necessarily want to refinance them out.
Right.
Because they're paying a lot of principal.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the overall benefit. We don't just look at, oh, let's see if we can drop your interest rate. And, you know, because it's not just all about interest rates. It's really about the whole big picture of cash flow. There's also other unique products that people are looking at. Some people are looking at 15-year fixed. Because, well, you know what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
You end up saving a lot in the interest over the life of the loan. But it really does all come down to having a good conversation with us. The Bay Equity loan officers are all licensed and very experienced. And Bay Equity itself is a direct local lender. So we don't have a middleman where we have to jack up all the fees. You just pay us at closing. And usually we can use the equity to cover it. And then there's the folks that have the rough credit. And they're like, well, I got this crummy loan. I got high credit card debt. And my credit sucks. Well, it might not be as bad as you think. You might actually have some options that you didn't realize you had. But you have to talk to us first.
Right.
And really, again, the best place to start is go to bayequityloans.com. You'll see pictures of us and what we do and testimonials. And you'll get to just put in your information. And we don't sell it because we want to just call you directly and ask you how we can help you. That's what you can do. And better yet, if you are a prospective borrower or homeowner, or you want to refinance, and you're in the public safety sector, medical field, education, if you're a veteran, we have our Giving to Heroes program. And that program kicks butt. I mean, it's just awesome because we give money to you at closing because of serving our community. For more information about that, you can go to givingtoheroes.net and you'll see all the participating Bay Equity offices and then just click a local one and we'll contact you about it.
Right. And you've got your partners who are realtors who also participate in that.
Yeah. So we screen realtors to become affiliated to the Giving to Heroes program based on their experience level and based on any sort of special connection they have. Like we have a couple affiliated partners that are real estate agents to the Giving to Heroes program that are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And they love the idea of giving back to their fellow veterans, sort of their brothers and sisters, right? People in a firehouse, oh, I love working with firefighters. I've worked with a ton of firefighters. My brother-in-law's a firefighter. I'm working with some right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually working with a client for the third time. He's a firefighter. And they get to benefit from Giving to Heroes. But it's not just the firefighters. Remember, it's people that work anywhere in the agency.
Right.
Right. Or retired from it. And teachers, of course, too. So what we do is we take your loan application and we take your specifics and I analyze your credit and I tell you what's working and what's not. And then I tell you what you're eligible for. And if you're eligible for Giving to Heroes, then we throw that into the mix. But it all starts with calling us. You got to give us a call or go online. So call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100 or go to bayequityloans.com.
George, I have to tell you, I actually took your advice.
You did? Wait a second.
About credit. I did. It took me, what, 4 or 5 years to do this?
Wow. Yes, it has. It's 5 years now.
I did. I took your advice.
Uh-huh.
And
seeing some improvements?
And I am totally seeing improvements.
Credit Karma. Are you using Credit Karma?
Yeah, I am using it.
I'm using Credit Karma.
It's great.
And I found Credit Karma through Credit Karma that I had a collection for PG&E on a house I haven't owned for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't owned it for 10 years.
Wow.
They said I had a landlord policy I never closed.
Mm.
I went to the title. They had two other owners since I sold the property. Two other owners.
Oh my God.
But they said I never closed my landlord policy. And one of the times it foreclosed And so since there was no owner of that property, they defaulted all the way back to me
as
the landlord policy.
Dang.
So I called and yelled. I got nowhere.
Right.
But I wouldn't have known about it. I shouldn't say I got nowhere. Let me stay on that. I actually engaged an attorney because I have prepaid legal, which is actually pretty good for this kind of stuff. And they sent the letters and it all went away.
Wow.
Right? Because I could have disputed it myself, but I wanted to have an attorney letterhead. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more effective.
Sure.
Because the people at PG&E were like, sorry, they were just completely uncooperative and morons about the situation. I think I actually called somebody a moron.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but she was a moron.
But that's very frustrating to have something that clearly was not belonging to you.
It was a $125 collection. It started as like a $50 fee or something like that. And I didn't even own the property. And I told the lady, I go, you got that. She had the title information. She could see.
Right.
They got all that information at PG&E. And I said, I haven't owned it. She said, we don't care. She really, I said, okay. I get it. I'm trying to reason with her.
Yeah.
You don't care? I mean, don't you see? I didn't own the property. How could you charge me? Doesn't matter. Went on my credit.
Right.
So I used the Fair Credit Reporting Act rules,
and
I got it cleared.
Good.
It was cleared within 2 weeks.
Wow. And then did it go up then, your
My score went up. Yeah. Oh, because it dropped like 50 points.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Because if it happens like in the very short term, your score gets immediately impacted.
Hmm.
But then it went back up. So, all right, folks, well, stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to go to commercial break. You're on air with George Adair. We'll be right back.
On air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
I'm Clark Wolf. Listen to At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays noon to 1, right here on KSRO.
Hi, I'm George Adair of Bay Equity Home Loans, and I'm reaching out to loan officers and mortgage professionals. Bay Equity is now hiring loan officers for positions in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Roner Park, and Windsor. Bay Equity was founded locally. We offer employees and clients the latest in technology and business systems to make it easier to close a loan. As a Bay Equity team member, you'll benefit from our unique best practices and promotional tools. Bay Equity's mentoring, mastermind groups, and coaching represent a culture of excellence and success company-wide. If you're serious about taking your lending career to the next level and providing an outstanding lending experience, then now is the time to take action. Call me, George Adair, for a confidential conversation at 707-583-8100. Bay Equity offers great benefits, including medical, dental, vision, 401k, plus more. Let's work together to elevate your lending career. Reach me at 707-583-8100.
Equal opportunity employer.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
On air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Ed, thanks for joining us. Remember, we do the show every noon on Wednesdays. Actually, I should say every Wednesday at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got that backwards.
That's all right.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. You can tune in live, or you can always go to KSRO's page, KSRO.com, Ask the Expert series. There's a lot of past shows there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you have any questions about a home or refinancing, give the folks at Bay Equity Home Loans a call. They'll help you explore your options at 707-583-8100. 707-583-8100. So, got a great guess.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor James Gore, fourth District of the County of Sonoma. Hey, Supervisor Gore, thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Rock and roll, man.
Rock and roll.
In the fourth District, Northern Sonoma County, running from Santa Rosa up to Cloverdale.
Hey, how's the microclimate there in the fourth District? Feeling warm today?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's in Dry Creek, it's probably perfect for Petite Sirah, and Alexander Valley for Cab, and in Russian River Valley, it's Pinot.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope to be able to experience some of that this weekend. actually, all of the above.
I'll see you there.
That's at my house.
Yes,
I'm there. Yeah, you know, actually, I ran into Supervisor Gore over at the new playground in Windsor. That was pretty cool. He was hanging from the monkey bars.
Well, I used to be able to lift my own weight, pull ups, I'd do these workout routines, and
sure.
now I watch these kids and I'm envious.
Yeah,
they can climb on things, and yeah. I can't anymore.
Yeah,
so.
You got to work on those pecs and the deltoid muscles to be able to do that.
I don't think that's the problem. I still have those muscles. I think it's the spare tire that's holding me down.
You're doing too many of those 6 ounce Cabernet curls, I see.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, I always love.
Thanks for having me, though. I appreciate being on the show.
Thanks. We try not to take ourselves too serious here, but I like having Supervisor Gore on because he's a real guy, and it's been a little while because he hasn't been up for elections for a little bit. So I was like,
that's
hey,
why
I
we
think,
haven't heard from you.
Yeah, no. I said, hey, you know what? I got to have you on the air because there are a lot of issues going on in your district, and you gave us some pretty good bullets actually to start from. If I may,
yeah.
I'd love to just get an overall sort of what's the situation of housing in Sonoma County specifically that you think is worth mentioning today.
Well, I think the biggest thing is many of the people who listen to your show know that Sonoma County has really realistically less than a 1% vacancy rate.
Right.
You know, so so what does that mean? It means that there's not enough housing.
Yeah.
But it also means that there's a high degree of impact from second homes and VRBOs and all these other things. And so there's really a lot of policy stuff that's going on with us as the Board of Supervisors and in the individual cities with their own jurisdictions
mm-hmm.
that really affects property values, and it affects who can be in what houses and deed restrictions and affordable housing units and where we go after things.
Yeah.
The ideas is how in the best way you can create incentive system for the right kind of housing to come into these areas so that we can especially focus on our workforce, you know, and look at tourism, agriculture, and in the hospitality sectors as being primary drivers here in Sonoma County.
Yeah, I think that's all really great. And the issue of VRBO is one I'd like to drive into a little bit with you because, of course, Healdsburg's in your district, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. And that's been an ongoing issue. What is Healdsburg's position now? Has that all been settled out on VRBO?
Well, you know, it's a good story to kind of understand the world of VRBOs, how it works. Is a couple of years ago, quite a few years ago, Healdsburg was concerned about the rising number of VRBOs mm-hmm. for all the different purchases, and it was driving up land costs because people could afford to offer more for homes if they were able to earn $80,000 to $120,000 a year off of it.
Sure.
And some of those people weren't just doing it commercially. Maybe it was a second home that they wanted to move into in 5 years, and it was a way to basically, you know, fund it while they were getting ready for retirement or something like that. But Healdsburg really enacted a moratorium on VRBOs.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it didn't change anything because people still bought second homes in Healdsburg.
Right.
And so Healdsburg still has, you know, depending on who you talk to, 30%. 30% of the homes in a place like Healdsburg are not full-time residents.
Yeah, right.
And you can't deed restrict stuff like that. We live in an open market. You can't say that it has to have a residence requirement.
Yeah.
But what you can do is kind of steer towards things. And the only way that you can have a deed restriction that supports kind of local housing is if it's these affordable housing blocks.
Yeah.
And so focusing on that, you know, I actually supported an effort to have a moratorium on VRBOs on Fitch Mountain, where we had about 19% of the houses were vacation rentals. And that's, you know, a tough area because you have both residents and it's also a vacation community. But the key is how do you figure out how all these different housing units respect community and feed mm-hmm. into community rather than detaching from it.
Right.
Because at a base level, the key is that are places becoming commercialized, and do people feel like they still have a community around them? Because that's something I think I and all of us support.
Yeah, I love both sides of that you're talking about. And the issue of housing for me is that it is a free market, and if people want to buy investment property and rent it out, that's one thing. But then you've got that issue of the community. Is there a loss of community when that happens? But if 30% of the market is still a second home, and people are only coming up every other weekend, you know, it's already it's evolving anyways, regardless of the VRBO discussion.
Well, good point that you make is that last word you said, which is evolving. Right? You know, the vacation rental issue And its place in our community is not settled, and it's not going to be settled for quite a few more years. You know, we are trying to catch up with basically the disruptive tools that are in our economy, that are driving our economy, whether it's Uber's effect on taxis and others, VRBO and Airbnb with housing, or, you know, onward and onward, Facebook's impact on press and other things. So we're playing catch up constantly, and that's right. Kind of the idea is how do you allow that stuff to innovate and move so that our communities move in a positive direction and are innovative, but at the same point, you know, there, as I think we can all agree, that there's a place where if you're living on a road and you see that five out of the last six houses that have sold over the last 3 years are now basically full-time commercial units, mm-hmm. and they don't have to apply for use permits or ADA or anything, they're used as just, you know, 24/7. That's different from somebody who uses something appropriately, sustainably, and gets good people in there to come and enjoy a community, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it is not in the what, it's in the how.
Yeah.
And it's tough to legislate how.
Right. I think the less we can legislate and the more we just do some good neighborly behavior, the better. That's just my opinion. Tell me about the tiger salamander, because I didn't realize there were areas in your district that were really impacted by that. What areas specifically are going on with that?
Isn't it fascinating that you just switched to tiger salamander, and some of your listeners might be like,
right,
what? Did we just switch to a biology show? Is this, you know, nature talk with George and James?
That's what we do in our 30-minute show.
Well, I think what I appreciate about it is that, you know, we live in a complex world at this point, and you have to deal with it. You know, a lot of people think there's one-dimensional solutions to complex problems,
right.
And that's a nice thought, but it doesn't deal with it. One of the biggest issues affecting housing in Santa Rosa, primarily in Santa Rosa, but down towards Rohnert Park, all the way up towards the airport, let's say, which is in my district, and kind of the Fulton area of Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. is the California tiger salamander.
Right.
It is an endangered species, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
I was going to say that it affects housing, and that's the transition. So, you know, you can't just start building in some of these areas without mitigation, and that's the issue, right?
And mitigation is really means you got to pay money. You got to pay, if you're going to build in a certain area that's a habitat for this tiger salamander, whether it's there or not, you have to pay a mitigation bank that's validated out of the state to purchase land somewhere else that is habitat for this salamander to survive.
Can I put you on the spot and ask you what your opinion of that is?
Well, I think there's better ways to get things done. Mm-hmm. I don't like the, first of all, I support the Endangered Species Act. I think humans can live with our animals. We don't need to do a, you know, torch and destroy mentality on everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that the mechanism itself is crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mitigation banks, nobody really has a set structure on how much it is. And if you talk to builders, they'll tell you, hey, I'm okay with this being a part of the makeup. What I'm not okay with is I feel like I'm extorted by different mitigation banks.
Well, wait a second,
whether
James.
It's 2-to-1 acres or 4-to-1 acres and how it works.
Right. So wait a sec. You mean we're not chasing around with little shovels and canisters all the salamanders and putting them on the other land that you buy, 4-to-1 acres? Weren't we still just digging up the land anyways?
Well, the issue let me see if I get to your point, is that, I mean, realistically, all this is about habitat. It's not about actual numbers,
right?
It's like making habitat, you know, accessible for different areas. And the difficulty with this one is that it's driving up housing costs. There's places like, if you look at like Andy's Unity Park, where we're putting in, you know, the park in Roseland, $750,000 are going towards tiger salamander mitigation in that area. And that is basically a blank piece of land that has no salamander on it, right? So you're paying like a cost to be able to protect some land somewhere else for it. And I just think the whole system and how it's set up is just flawed. It's rife for money flying all around the place, not to be able to actually measure if it's increasing in population. And at the same point, if I talk to people in the business community and in the building community, you know, they'll say that figuring out this problem, and none of them say repeal the Endangered Species Act.
No.
They say figuring out a smart way that's transparent, that doesn't just leave us playing this whimsical game with mitigation banks and other things is totally rational. Help us find a solution. So there's been discussions that we've had with, do we use some of the lands that are purchased with Ag and Open Space District funds out of the county, sales tax dollars, to create habitat in those areas as offset that's, you know, that's more impactful and maybe less impactful in terms of decreasing housing? Do we try and create a system where there's a tax that pays for this? This is what some developers have proposed to us, as opposed to having it go to mitigation banks that they don't really feel confident are representing the interests of people, builders, or salamanders.
Or the salamanders,
and,
right.
And everyone will dispute the claim and yell at each other about being an environmentalist or a developer, but the reality is that the people I know in Sonoma County, whether they're on the business side or you know, on the conservation side, they're trying to find common sense, and we're just not getting there in terms of government these days.
They're not. You know what I should call this? Real talk with right. Supervisor James Gore. Hey, Supervisor Gore, I love having you on the show, and we got to talk about cannabis, but we can't today. So I'm gonna have to come back. We're gonna have to bring you back.
Totally fine. You can bring me back. You know,
you
somebody
come back
told
like,
me recently. They said, you know, hey, it's cannabis. Marijuana is a pejorative term. And I said, hey, if you say that again, I'm gonna start calling it pot or dope.
You know. And once again, real talk. Supervisor James Gore. We're gonna name
thanks,
that
George.
A segment after you. Hey, thanks again. We'll have you on soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, folks. My friend, Supervisor James Gore. Good guy. Real talk. If you want real talk again, join us next Wednesday at noon. We'll be here. Until then, be safe. See ya.